I'd like to ask you if you'd open your Bible with me, please, this morning to the book of Romans. I'd like you to find with me in your Bible Romans chapter 5. When our children were small, there was one movie that we watched over and over and over again. And we all loved it. We just loved watching it from beginning to end. Story about a nun who was a governess of children of a widower, sea captain, Baron von Trapp. We still love it to this day. Well, one of the scenes that we have all come to love over the years was as follows. I was honestly tempted to show you the scene this morning in video, but I'd like to tell you the scene. The captain says, "Now, when I want you, this is what you will hear." Blows a whistle. And Maria says, "Oh, no, sir. I'm sorry, sir. I could never answer to a whistle. Whistles are for dogs and cats and other animals, but not for children. And definitely not for me. It would be too humiliating." The captain says, "Fräulein, were you this much trouble at the Abbey?" And Maria says, "Oh, much, much more, sir." And we've laughed over the years at this reminder of, "Oh, much, much more, sir." When I came to be reading Romans chapter 5 again this past week, I discovered, as you are about to discover, how many times the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, puts this same line in your Bible, "much more." So when you're reading God's Word, it's always amazing to see how the Holy Spirit uses the language of the day, and of course, language in general. And words aren't just important. Sometimes words are so significant, they're such a blessing. And I mean that with all my heart. I believe that God is the greatest wordsmith in existence. He doesn't waste any words. He says something, and he says something specific for a specific reason. Let me show you what I mean. Would you look at Romans verse 9 of chapter 5, please? Look what it says there in your Bible. "Much more than, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Now move on down to the 15th verse. "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded to many." Look at verse 17. "For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." Well, how much food will you need for your family when they come in for the holidays? Will X amount be enough? No, not at all. We need much more. Well, how much will it cost to do that renovation of your kitchen? $3,000? Much more. Well, it means something when you use the line "much more." Obviously, it's used for emphasizing. But something existing to a greater extent than you already know or already have. Now, some of you know some of what you have because you belong to Christ. But we don't know what we don't know. And there's much more to what God has done for us for all of his children. What's on my heart today is this matter of the much more. Thank you, Lord, for your word, and thank you for your spirit. I thank you again for the cross. Thank you that on the cross you gave us your son. Thank you, dear Lord, that there is life in him and him alone. Father, we would pray this morning as we look at your word, we pray that our eyes, the eyes of our hearts, will be open so that we'll have understanding in the heart, dear Lord. You know what's going on in our lives, our jobs, our school, our homes. You know, dear Lord, what we're dealing with. Oh, dear Lord, we know also that you're not making any mistakes with our lives. So we praise you for that this morning. So whatever is going on in hearts, Father, some are troubled, some are anxious, and so, Father, some are even grieving today. But we know that your care is abundant, your love is abundant, your grace is abundant. We pray, Father, this morning that if we look at your word, that our lives will be helped, certainly affected for good, and Father, that we'll change our ways, that we'll abide in what you say in your word, we'll believe it with all our hearts. Thank you so much, Father. And we pray these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Much, much more. Now, I'm thinking that the Lord must have liked the same lines, because I'm going through the Gospels, and what do I find in the Gospels? Look at this. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? How about Luke 12? Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn. God feeds them. How much more are ye better than the birds? You see, it's not enough that God puts beauty in the grass and the grass thrown into the oven and burned. In his wisdom and love, that's the way God designed the grass. It's not enough that he feeds the ravens. The ravens don't have a place to store their food. But he says God cares for you. Matter of fact, what is the line? Much more. All your physical needs supplied. I found another one. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? I think that probably the Lord loves that statement. And I found this in 1 Peter chapter 1, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So I'm saying to you this morning that God is the God of the much more. I'm sure you're oftentimes thinking, if I just had more, if I only had this, if I only had more of this. Why don't you just narrow your thinking down to what it says in the Bible and let the one who really handles the much more show you exactly what the much more is that he provides. I know that God is the God of the much more. It's his way of expressing to us in his own words, personal care. God takes care of you personally. It's great to know that God so loved the world. I'm glad that God loved the world. But I will tell you, folks, I am glad, or even gladder, that God loves me, and I know that love personally and practically. So, the lesson on the much more today from Romans 5. I think one of the greatest passages in all the Bible. I know that there are some passages that are greater than others from our viewpoint. I think this may very well be one of them. Would you look with me at the sixth verse again, Romans 5? Look at verse 6. When we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God showeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Here it is. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. I have found in my reading, my study, my understanding of the Bible, that sometimes it's good to get a little bit bigger picture of what the passage is, to just get an idea of where it falls, we'll say, in the passage. I want to be able to think. I want to be able to think carefully, what does God say? What does God mean? And how can it fit my life? But sometimes in order to do that, it's a good idea to get a bigger picture of where the passage fits. And you know that the book of Romans is really the road of righteousness. And so the early chapters of Romans 1, 2, and 3, he describes the need for salvation. And the passage that we have in front of us falls in the section dealing with the way of salvation, where Paul describes what it means to be justified by God. There's a way between God and man that works. It's the way of justification. The way it works is to have justification personally. The way it works is to be saved by God, having put your trust in the blood of Christ. The way it works is the way it works. Mankind, since Adam to this very moment, we try every other way that we think might work between man and God. But the Bible teaches us there is only one way that works between God and man. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Folks, we are either justified or we're not justified. We're either righteous or we're not righteous. We're either saints or sinners. Now, when I say saints or sinners, saints do sometimes sin. Sinners always sin, yet they sometimes do saintly things. But I do want you to realize that you're either an unbeliever or you're a believer. Based upon what we find in the Bible here, that the Lord of heaven has provided for us a perfect justification. He has declared us righteous in his sight. That's part of his divine plan. So I want you to realize that the section that we're dealing with in Romans chapter 5, it says you can be justified by faith in Christ alone, declared righteous. Once you were condemned, now you're justified. Once you were lost, now you are found. Once you were bound, and now you are free. I will say to you this morning what you've heard me say maybe 1,000 times, but life flows from the cross. You get your life from the person who was crucified on Calvary 2,000 years ago. Christ shed his blood so that you could have complete and eternal forgiveness for all of your sins. I am so grateful, as I am over the years, more grateful now than ever, that Christ has saved my soul. I have no doubt when I close my eyes in death, my body, but my spirit goes right into the very presence of God. Not because I was good, not because I did good things, but simply because I put my trust where there is life, and that is at the cross. The eternal judge took your sins on the cross. so that the future condemnation is no more for you. You believe on what Jesus did, please remind yourself, your life flows from that cross. Scripture says this, "For he, the Father, made him, the Son, to be sin for us, he who knew no sin, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him," in Christ. I really can't tell you how big it is. I can't tell you how amazingly big it is to have the assurance in your heart that God has declared you right. Don't you like it when somebody comes to you and says, "I'm right"? You know what God says? He says, "You're right. The day I put my trust in Christ, I was made right. And I'm so glad that there is a place to be made right." Now, if you're here and you have never put your trust in Christ, today is the day. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. He removes every single spot of sin. He declares you as righteous as his own Son. That's what you find here in Romans chapter 5. Now, what I want you to do, though, is look with me at this sixth verse. Look what it says here in Romans 5, 6. Now, I'm not expecting you to know the Greek language, but I want you to think with me a little bit about what the Bible says in light of Romans 5, 6. When we were yet without strength, that means powerless, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. So the Bible says that Christ died for those who had no power and had no godliness. Christ died for us. You ever wondered who it was for whom Christ died? There it is, Romans 5, 6. He died for those who have no spiritual strength, and he died for those who are ungodly. I'm oftentimes amazed that we human beings, we think so much of ourselves. We think so much of ourselves. We think we're so good that we're right all the time. Other people are the wrong ones. I'm right. Except for one thing. The Bible says that we're all equally condemned because of our sin. And the ones who have believed on Jesus and Jesus alone are the ones who get all their sins removed. I am just so thankful that I can say that to you this morning, that the ungodly were the ones that Christ died for. The ones who had no strength, those were the ones that Christ died for. So here's something even more wonderful. The Bible says that God showed his love toward us while we were yet sinners. Fits us, doesn't it? Without strength, ungodly, and sinners. That's who Christ died for. It's just absolutely wonderful, to say the least. For whom did Christ die? He died for those without strength to do anything for themselves spiritually. He died for people who were ungodly in their speech, their attitudes and behavior, and he died for those who were sinners. You know, we may think we're good. We may think we're right. We may think we're okay until we come under the simplicity of a passage like Romans chapter 5, where the Bible says, if you think you're the good one, Christ did not die for you. He died for those who have no spiritual strength, for those who were ungodly, and for those who were sinners. I'm grateful beyond grateful. Oh, and I found this amazing passage here. Much more than being justified by his blood, we will be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were all enemies. We were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. So much more. Being reconciled will be saved by His life. Did you notice that? Not only did Christ die for those who were without strength and ungodly sinners, you know who Christ died for? His enemies. I'm glad. I hope your heart is glad beyond all gladness to think that even though you had no strength, even though you were ungodly sinner, and even though you were the enemy of God, please want you to be aware of the fact that the Bible says we are the ones that Christ died for. Reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, saved by His life. You know, when you were saved, when I was saved, I had no idea spiritually what was happening. All I knew is that I was a sinner. And that was enough. For those of you who have never heard Billy Graham preach, you should go online and listen to a sermon of Billy Graham when he preached about sinners. Because he told wonderful, wonderful way that Christ died for sinners. When I heard that Christ died for sinners, I was sort of like fit. But that's all I knew. I didn't know anything spiritually speaking. All I knew was that I was a sinner. When a person comes to Christ, they just need to know, acknowledge, believe, and realize that they are sinners. And I was a sinner. But when I was saved, I didn't understand much spiritually. All I knew was I was a sinner and that Jesus died for my sins. You see how simple that is? 4-year-old, 5-year-old child can understand how simple that is. Now, having read the Bible a little bit more carefully, I've begun to realize a lot more of, for example, how much love God had for me. You know what kind of love it was? It was the kind of love that would die for those without spiritual strength, those who were ungodly, sinners, and enemies. Would you die for your enemy? Who would die for their enemy? Oh, the Lord says we're supposed to love our enemy. Would you love your enemy to death? Would you die for your enemy? Well, you'd die for your son. You'd die for your brother. You'd die for one of your parents. You would go to the nth degree for someone who was worth loving. But would you give your life for your enemy? You know, it's nice to have love for your family, isn't it? Aren't you glad you can express your love for your family? And you give your everything for your family? Wow. Who's going to die for their enemies? Make sure you get the picture. It's not a difficult picture. It's a wonderful picture. Christ even died for His enemies. And by the way, an enemy is an enemy for a reason. And the reason wasn't on God's side. We chose the sin. We chose self over others. We love darkness. We much prefer that the light not expose us. We don't really want people to know what really is going on in our hearts and minds throughout the week, do we? Do we really want other people to know what we think and how we really are? By birth, by experience, we prefer praise rather than to praise the Lord Himself. We love the praises of men, and we've set ourselves up as enemies. And all the while, God loves us. This is the condemnation. Light came into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Folks, there are two wonderful things for us to realize, and I just want to try to categorize them for you this morning and clear them up in your heart and mind, I hope, by the ministry of God's Spirit. The justified are delivered from God's wrath. There is no wrath to come for those who have put their trust in Christ. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. There is no condemnation for a believer. When you leave this world, folks, the Bible says this: absent from the body, present with the Lord. There is no condemnation for those who have put their trust in Christ. The second thing I want to say to you is we, the reconciled, are saved by His life. If when you were enemies were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled were saved by His life. As I thought these things through, I don't know what else to do except to try to get you to see how marvelous this is. Number one, we're justified by faith. The whole of Romans 1 through 4 says, you're not justified by being good. You're not justified by good works. You're not justified by morality. You're justified by faith. Number two, justified by His blood. Romans 5, 9, much more than being now justified by His blood. Number three, we're delivered from wrath. Number four, we're saved by His life. I tell you, folks, it's a wonderful thing to belong to the Lord. I hope this is not difficult for you. I hope it's clear. I hope it's simple. It's not complicated. Justified by faith. Justified by faith in His blood. Delivered from condemnation. I have life because of the cross. You know, this whole idea here of the work of the cross and justification is completely the opposite of religions across the globe. There's always an element of I can work my way in some way, pray or do some good deeds or whatever. But the Bible teaches that that's not the way to God. The way to God is God loved me, the sinner. God loved me, the sinner. God loved me, the sinner. I don't know if you're going to find any religions in the world that are going to say that God became a baby, lived 33 years on the earth, and then let man crucify Him for their sins, except in the Bible. No other religion will give you God doing something for us. Religions of the world, we do something for God. The Bible says God did all for us. Everything that was needed was done by God. Everything that was needed was done by God out of His love and His grace. You see why the gospel is so powerful? Now, you've got family members, friends, workmates, people in your life who need to hear that simple message. They need to know that simple message. So that when you say to them, God loves them, they need to know, because they are sinners, that Christ died for sinners. Beautiful message, but they need to hear the message. There's people all around us who need to hear that message. And who's going to tell them? Who's going to tell them that good news? I know that there are some who have had doubts in their salvation. And sometimes doubts have helped us because they get us to think carefully about what we're believing. But folks, if the Bible says that we're saved from wrath through Him, I'm going to tell you right now, that should clear up all doubts. God said it, not you, and not me. God said, saved from wrath through him. So when I leave this world, no condemnation. I go right into the very presence of Almighty God. It's just one of the much mores of the Bible. You see, when I came to the Lord, I didn't understand much. I only knew I was a sinner, and I only knew that Christ was my answer. And I believed. Man showed me what the Bible said, and then I prayed a prayer. I don't know about what sinner's prayer, and I was saved. I came to him in faith, changed my mind, repented. I no longer believe what I once believed. I was taught that my good works better outweigh my bad works, or I'm never going to get into heaven. I was taught that I better be a good boy, or I wasn't going to get into heaven. And then I found the gospel message through Billy Graham. I found out what happened at the cross. And I found out that perfectly, completely, and eternally, I've been justified. There's nothing more I can do. I can't do anything to get myself saved, and I can't do anything to keep myself saved. So the Bible says, just look at the much more. Just believe the much more. Not only are you fully, eternally, completely justified, I've been delivered, I've been rescued, I've been saved from every part of the wrath of God. God could never look upon me again as a condemned sinner. It's just not reality. Some people say, oh, well, you got a get out of jail free card. I said, you know, maybe you're right. It wasn't my doing. It was all his doing. It was all his love. When I was without strength, when I was ungodly, when I was a sinner, and when I was his enemy, he said, much more than. I don't know where you're at today, but God does. But he wants you to know his much more. He wants you to have it in your heart. He wants you to go and live your life this week with a much more reality in your experience. So, deliver yourself from your doubts if you have doubts. Believe what it says in the Bible if you have trouble with faith. He declares you righteous. He took that little tiny bit of a mustard seed of faith, and now he bloomed it into a big, wonderful tree of faith. You know, it's nice when somebody goes out of their way to do something for you, isn't it? You like it when somebody goes out of their way to do something for you? Would God go out of his way for you and do something for you? Hebrews 9:13. You've got to memorize this one. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, watch this, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. You know, if you're missing out on any of this, today is the day. Change your mind. Believe on Christ. If you're missing out on any of this, you make the choice. You're going to believe what God says, or you're going to believe what you think. I don't know, folks. I think that probably the best thing that you can do this week is to take the good news to somebody. It's good news. People in your life need that news. Look what's going on in our world today. Look where we are today. You think with all our intellectual increase, that we would have less crime, that we would have less wickedness. But you know what we have? We've got all the same kind of hearts. And the further we get away from God, the further we get away from the truth, the less we know the simple, wonderful, glorious truth that God justifies sinners. The good news is not for you to keep. The good news is for you to give to somebody else. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it's true. I thank you, dear Lord, that there is strength and hope in these words. I thank you, Father, that the words are life-giving words. Thank you again for sending your Son. Thank you for his blood being shed on our behalf. For that one that's here today, dear Lord, that is believing at this moment, we thank you, Father, that you are granting to them complete justification by faith in the blood of your Son. For the saints, dear Lord, as we've gathered here under the sound of your word, we have the most glorious message in all the world to tell someone this week what a wonderful, wonderful love that you have for the likes of us. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. And how about we sing together this morning, number 737. You think about the words, like a river glorious is God's wonderful peace. Number 737. And would you stand together with me, please? 737. I'd like to have you sing all three verses. Think about what you're singing, please.
Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. Lover of victorious in its bright increase. Perfect yet it floweth fuller every day. Perfect yet it groweth deeper all the way. Stayed up under Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised perfect peace and rest. Hidden in the hollow of his blessed hand, never foe can follow, never traitor stand. Not a touch of worry, not a shade of care, not a blast of hurry touch the Spirit there. Stayed up on Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised perfect peace and rest. Every joy or trial falling from above, traced upon our dial by the Son of Love. We may trust him fully, all for us to do. They who trust him wholly find him wholly true. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised perfect peace and rest.
Was that beautiful or what? Thank you for your singing this morning. It was just glorious. A couple things to remind you about by way of announcements. Yes, please be seated. April 21st, Saturday, don't forget the 12 Women of the Bible here at 10 o'clock. Don't forget April 28th for Priscilla Shire over at the Fellowship Bible Church in Clinton. We have a work day coming up on May 5th. And I just want to remind you that this year, Mother's Day is on the second Sunday of May. But the Wednesday following the second Sunday, at 7 o'clock in the evening, we're going to have some friends of my wife's and mine. We're going to come and minister in music. They, especially the husband, is extremely good on the guitar. His father's going to join them. He is a very accomplished keyboardist. Anyway, we are going to have them with us. Please put it in your phone, on your calendar, write it down. Please invite somebody. It's going to be a wonderful evening together. They have a very, very busy schedule. They couldn't be with us on a Sunday. I pleaded with him to come on a Sunday. He could not come on a Sunday. So Wednesday night on May 16th. We have a couple opportunities for them to minister in the area on Tuesday and Wednesday. And we're going to ask you to pray for prayer for them as they come on May 16th. I believe that's all our announcements for today. At this time, we'll receive our morning tithes and offerings. So, fellows, if you'll come, please. Again, our Heavenly Father, we rejoice in who you are. We've come today, dear Lord, to worship you. We thank you, Lord, that you're well aware of everything that's going on in our hearts. We, Father, we pray that you would help us this moment to be among those that are rejoicing over and above because you've given us a free salvation in Christ. So, Father, we bring our offering to you this morning. First, we give ourselves to you and ask that you will use even our gifts for your glory in this world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.